show at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, revolutionradiofreedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look! Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace... Stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
And here we go again. I'm probably a little bit late. It's a Sunday night. It's the night that you can see, maybe with binoculars, the Devil Comet is going around the sun right now. It's high point around the sun. You're supposed to be able to see it sunset into the west. Now, I think we've got Demetrius with us too.
Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you tonight?
I'm glad to be back on the table talking about important issues.
Is it?
I missed Tuesday because I slept right through it because I was working and didn't have the time to focus on the important stuff because I work at a McDonald's that takes all of my time out of the day and makes it difficult for me to really make a change in the world. But this is a huge difference, you know, getting to talk to you guys and to our loyal listeners.
Yeah, and we are all listener supported, and I got two feathers with me too, and we are the number one because you know you get to say what you feel here, like as if you're a regular person. You don't have to be all uppity about it or whatever, a know it all. We just know what it feels like, right? And I think that we should be supported. I think it's that easy just because, you know, anybody can call in and stuff. And I think we'll try and figure that out in a little bit, too, about call-in numbers and things. I think I did have somebody else try and call me earlier, right when I was getting started. And we're all listener supporters, so I want to remind that to everyone. You know, Two Feathers is real good at supporting the station with all the numbers and time and stuff into it. But I just get on with the show a little bit. And I think it should be interesting tonight because we've got this comet that is like that you're supposed to actually be able to see it with your eyes, and it's called the Devil's Comet or something like the Mother of Dragons Comet or something. There's a couple names for it. And it's like a once-in-a-lifetime get to see this thing, you know, and it's right at the sunset. You can see it in the western sky. I'm not sure, like, tonight it was supposed to be the perfect time for it, but, you know, I'm sure you're going to see it tomorrow night, too, right at sunset. I think they said an hour after sunset is when you can see it, or right, you know, up to an hour after sunset, I think you can see it. But anyway, it's just another day. Another day in this neighborhood. What do you think, Demetrius? You get some time off? You got off early or something?
Yeah, I never tell my bosses that what my time off is, and I just let them forget that I'm still there, and I end up staying hours late most days. Today I just said fuck it. My boss said, "What time are you off?" I'm like, "No."
Watch that language. She said,
oh, I'm so sorry. Pardon, but
That's all good. That's all good. I didn't mean to interrupt you too much.
No, thank you. Thank you. But today I just decided. She said, "What time are you off?" I said, "No, now is fine." And I got to go home.
Yeah, it's good that you had a little time to talk before the show. So we got Two Feathers too. What was your day like, Two Feathers? Off, right?
Yeah, busy as hell as always.
He's saying everything for you. It's hard working nights, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm off tonight, but I mean, still, it's just still, you know what I'm saying? I still had to go to the grocery and try to get a little belt for my lawnmower, you know, still trying to push forward, you know, with everything I got to do. You know, go ahead. Right.
Did you find an extra heavy belt that you were looking for?
Yeah, it's a 100-inch belt. I found one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a long belt. It must be expensive.
It was like $23. Wasn't that bad.
Oh, that sounds pretty cheap for that length, you know. That ain't bad. So what do you think tonight? What's important? What do you think?
What you think, Demetrius? What seems important to you?
I think about safeguarding the community. Making sure that we're all doing all right. You know, how are you doing today, tonight, or this morning, man, the Two Feathers?
Oh, doing good. Yeah, I just wanted to let y'all know that they did pass that $95 billion package to Ukraine and Israel. Give y'all a heads up on that beautification, huh?
They had to after they fired off all the missiles. What did it cost them to defend themselves the last time? See, that's what they're not telling you, is how the cost adds up. You know, like, we're paying for all that. Like all the wars. Where do you think it's coming from? That's why I'm not sure who it was. It might have been Kennedy said that Europe should be paying for it too. They've got more money than us, something like that. You know, yeah, I don't know what to believe. But I think they're all bullshit right now. See, I shouldn't be so mean on all our politicians. But I don't see how they're in it for anybody but themselves. And that's the way it looks to me. And everybody's like going through too much at this point. I heard something about Alaska wants to secede, And the funny thing is, if they succeeded, they'd probably own all that oil and could probably drill and probably rival us for, you know, who's supplying the oil. You know, probably Texas could do that too. You know, because we're controlling the supply. They told them to shut down the Alaskan oil. So we're buying from the other world, Europe and stuff, for all our oil and stuff. A little bit from Venezuela. And our strategic reserves are down to 17 days or something. So I think we're being railroaded.
Our reserve is down to 17 days?
Yeah.
Wow. That's great news.
That was so they could keep the prices down on gas, make buying look a little bit better or something like that. Kind of looks stupid for, you know, giving out all that oil. Actually, they were selling it. So, gotta wonder what's wrong with us. But, you know, like the infrastructure is breaking down. You got bridges falling down and stuff. You got, you know, a cyber attack, really. Could have been CIA even. You know, they seem to run everybody else's country, including ours. So, you know, maybe it's time to take the CIA down, you know, or all the other terrorists that we have. Because we make up the terrorists. We think we spend all our money on. We're the best terrorists in the world. How do you get a third world war going? What do you think, Two Feathers?
Well, you keep buying the best of weapons, huh?
Well, yeah, you keep wanting to build weapons. You're going to use them, right?
Yeah. After we got on and that's how they
so what do you think of their corkscrew ICBMs or whatever it is, their intercontinental ballistic missiles? What do you think of them corkscrewing and getting through their defenses?
Well, they're probably waiting. I don't know which one you're talking about, on Israel's side. I mean, Iranian side. Or?
Yeah, Iran sent some missiles that like they sent a bunch of drones to the airfield that, you know, launched the attack on their embassy or their consulate. Mm-hmm. And they actually got through because of all the drones being, you know, decoys in a way, taking up all the anti-missile launches. And they were throwing like really expensive missiles at these drones and stuff because drones are kind of cheap. And then the actual, you know, rocket that was like, you know, corkscrewing or, you know, it's got maneuverability, that got through. And because that got through, you know, like this was the most protected base on the freaking planet. That proves that Iran can do whatever they want. And a lot of people left Israel right after that because it's getting pretty serious. You know, like they actually don't feel so protected with their Iron Dome anymore. But you're not seeing this kind of stuff in the news because it's embarrassing. You know, like they thought they were well protected. And I don't know if you heard anything, but did somebody launch another attack on Iran yet? Like I heard Israel's talking about it or wanting to or might have done it already. And you see, go ahead.
No, I'm saying they keep it in the hush-hush on it until it becomes a major factor, you know?
Well, until it becomes successful. If it becomes a tragedy for them, they don't want to talk about it, you know, because maybe they're not as prepared as they thought they were for all this new technology in the world. Like, that's what's going on. We're starting to realize what the new technology can do. And it don't matter what kind of defenses we have for it. like the Iron Dome didn't work. They were talking about putting together a new a laser dome or something like that, you know, where they could melt people on the front of the fences and stuff. I don't know. I'm just joking. But what do you think it costs for all this high tech, you know, let's kill each other weapons? What do you think, Demetrius? Do we need to spend all our effort killing each other? Because we're getting really good at it. I don't know if Demetrius is there. What do you think, Two Feathers? Are we getting too good at blowing people up?
Hell yeah. They're getting the most money funded toward what they're doing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is big business. It's the whole game is to make more business out of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're spending money like it's water. Go ahead.
But it's like Gladiator, where, you know, like we're watching people get blown up by their new high-tech, you know, games. And we're not looking at it that way. You know, because we're paying for all these weapons that, you know, are destroying people. I don't know. I heard Kennedy say that they should give them a way out of Gaza by the Sinai into Egypt. He said something about the monetary fund gives Egypt so much money that they should do whatever we say. And I think it's horrible for Kennedy to say something like that. So I've had enough of all these politicians. I don't know why we vote. You know, like, I don't know why we give away our say in the world. You know, like, it should be up to us what we do next. We shouldn't spend money on killing people. Shouldn't be out all over the world making enemies. You know, we talk about China and Russia being bad people. And we're the bad people saying that kind of stuff about somebody else. You know? How could you be a good person if you only can find fault with everyone else? What do you think, Two Feathers?
About what?
How could you be the right government if you're finding fault with other people?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh, it sounds like somebody buzzing, huh?
I hear a buzz, but I don't know what it was.
I do apologize, but I'm on my phone, and I told my friend that I'm on the radio, and he's all excited that I'm on the radio. He keeps trying to call me and message me and ask me how it's going, but I don't think he understands why I told him that I'm on the radio.
You should give him the radio, you know, where he can listen to you.
I did. I'm going to make him... Make him wise. I'm not gonna
make him wise. Bring him on the radio too. But it is a round table. I'm supposed to be advertising that people can call in and stuff. They can get a hold of me at Why Not All, YNOTALL on Skype. I get a new phone next week, so I should have all this solved with phone numbers and people calling in and stuff. And if Two Feathers wants to bother with that, he could bring in a couple of people. But it's up to him. Or Demetrius, if he wants to, you know, bring people in. But I'm lame right now, actually, for another week. I think it's funny what you got to go through for these phone companies and phones and stuff. They're pretty cheap ass.
I'm able to take calls, actually. I'm able to have multiple calls. I'd have to call back in through... I'd have to call back
Skype.
Using my phone, but... That's no deal. Yeah. Or no big deal.
Well, I could pass you some numbers and you could see if they want to, you know, come in or whatever. Unless Two Feathers wants to do it, because Two Feathers already has the numbers, I think.
Well, I'm an excellent salesman. And let me tell you something about Skype. The fact that we're all here brought together by one single app, that says a lot. That's actually doing that answers a lot of questions right then and there. At least we have someone to talk about the truth with because of Skype. We're not sponsored, but at least we have a way to come together. And Skype is, it makes it to where I don't have to, it makes it to where I can be lazy.
Well, it is the perfect way to bring people together, you know, communications-wise. And it probably is our final solution. People say, I'm not supposed to say that, you know, like as if we can't figure out, you know, how to get out of this mess we're in. But, you know, maybe nobody thinks there's a way out, but there's always a way out. But I laugh because, you know, like even if we're just a little person in the crowd that's jumping up and down, at least, you know, what we're saying is going to get out there, you know, and eventually it'll spread. And that's all it takes is like the way I look at it is, if you don't listen to the knowledge that's out there because it's revelations, then you deserve whatever you get next. You know, because we're supposed to know what we're doing now, and we're supposed to be able to stand for ourselves. So if you're, you know, so needy of like a government or a system to control you or lead you by the nose, then you're really not on the right side of everything. Because the right side of everything would already know how to get out of this stupidity that we're in. Like, we're not even supposed to need books anymore. We're supposed to have a connection to something higher that's always taking care of us. So what do you think of that? You know, and I'm sure Two Feathers believes that, you know, but I don't see how we're missing how much we can do. Like, I'm not missing how much I can do. People wonder if we do it on time or not. Maybe that's what the devil comet was? That's like a sign. It's time. We got the X marks the spot. That's really the crossbone sign. That's not going to be a pleasant result there. Crossbones about death, right? So it's all our superstition anyway, right? Like, am I crazy or what? What do you think, Two Feathers? Too much superstition?
Yeah, that's what they play by, huh?
Yeah. Well, the confusion. They want you confused and scared. So if you have no fear, what the hell can they do to you? Can't scare you anymore. Anyway, I think the little people are where the strength is. You know, like it only took a few percent to get us away from England, supposedly, even though I don't believe any of the stories anymore.
Well, maybe that's why they were using bombs to try to use it as a scare tactic, too.
Using bombs, did you say?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't hear that one. You mean over there?
No, I heard Americans were supposed to be using warheads, loading up warheads now or something.
You mean we're arming our warheads? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't know when to stop, right? So let me ask a question. What did Iran do wrong?
Retaliate.
Wouldn't anybody else? They kind of told the whole world, well, you put us in a situation we can't do anything else. So why is Israel retaliating again? Like, who is it that doesn't know how to stop? And so who's going to look bad in the end? Is it going to be the loser, or, you know, does anybody really win?
Well, the West, it seems to think so, right?
Doesn't somebody have to lose for you to win? Did you forget what those people have to go through?
We can see that every day.
Yeah, the person that's weaker ends up losing, right? You know, your system is supposed to protect the ones that are weaker because they can't protect themselves. So what's wrong with this picture? Are we picking on the weak people so that we can extort everything we can out of them? Are we in control of everybody's life?
Oh, that's what it's all about. That's why you think they have a Klaus Schwab and all these other people like that.
Who would allow it? Who would let you set it up that way to screw everybody you can?
Well, more people are coming aboard and realizing what's going on here, you know?
Well, I think what they're realizing is we have to do something about it. I think that's all we ever talk about, is that they're not going to fix themselves. So we've got to come up with a solution. And really, the solution is stop participating. Like, why would you feed them more weapons so that they can, like, why don't we just stop building weapons or something? Who wants to build weapons? At least half the people here don't want to be the ones that are killing somebody else. Like, that's what the joke is. There's always half the people that want to kill each other. So how are you going to stop them? Because it ruins everybody's life. You know, even the ones that don't want to go to war. That's all you see in the news now. It's like, it's hard to digest your food with all that stress, right? Especially somebody working at McDonald's.
Oh yeah, it's bad, man.
It's bad for you. It's like the stress probably kills us faster than the food that we're eating, which is really bad for us. I don't know what to say. So, Demetrius, you here? He works at McDonald's. And I wonder how much traffic he gets.
I am. I'm still trying to get myself together after working a stressful day.
Okay.
Like you said, eating food that makes me incapable to really think and to carry out any basic function and to think about the large picture.
Oh.
Ugh.
So it's in the food, huh? Like, that's probably how they control us. That's probably how they control us. You know, like, if it's all processed, it probably affects us, and maybe it keeps you pretty clouded and, you know, not functioning so well. Make you feel like you can't fight.
I had a moment of clarity last night, and basically all it was me realizing, like, how tight, I call it micromanaging. There's micromanaging happening in restaurants and businesses trying to get the best profit margin as possible. And it's gotten so good at the micromanaging that a computer is pretty much putting us up against the wall. That's just some program, and the money that we're getting is arbitrary. The money that we spend on weapons is arbitrary. Like, what decision making is going into the United States giving an arbitrary dollar amount to an arbitrary war? That the only way that we could possibly ever stop the money, the frivolous spending, is to just not pay for these weapons. But I guess we do it because we have the money.
Well, people want a job, so you know, people aren't going to want to really stop working because they need the money. It seems like the system has set us up where we don't get many choices. Like, you're working at McDonald's, you know, so how easy was it to find a better job than that?
Well,
you know,
when everyone's pitted against each other, it's hard not to look out only for yourself. And it's all cutthroat out here. I went out to the country. I moved to Michigan and I lived in the country. I made wine. I smoked meat. I made fudge. I was a tour guide. And I worked at Dollar General. I just went to work whenever I wanted.
Interesting. So they're more laid back when they have a life. So are you in the city right now or something?
Yeah, I'm in the city. I'm moved to the country for 2 years of my whole life. And now at the ripe old age of 28, I've realized that I've spent the other 26 all wrong.
Well, at least you know something now. You know, like, you know the difference. You know, something out there.
And my buddy's got a lake middle of the woods. Nobody knows about. Gotta go fishing, drink beers on his porch, and nobody's gonna drive by. Maybe his neighbor will come by on his lawnmower every now and then. Mm. Simple living.
Mm-hmm. But then there's enough work out there because you're saying all the things you can do yourself, right?
Like a farm. The living situation that I was at, I had to put heat, to redo the heat in the house and to basically rebuild. What do they call these? And unforeseen circumstances. One thing, you know, it started with a light flickering, and then the whole house went to the dump.
So you needed to fix the wiring and stuff.
The wiring worked just enough to get a new roof on, which needed done before we did anything else, and that cost more money than originally, it's a money pit. But if we're all looking for a place to live, we're all trying to find a place that our family can strive and find jobs in and live their lives in. And here we are paying an arbitrary amount to improve our lives when we could just do it ourselves. and figure it out. If we figured it out, if we did it ourselves and we figured it out, that's the hard part. We got to figure it out.
But I think it goes back to doing it yourself anyway in the long run, because if the system's going to fail us, you know, like it doesn't look like the system's so strong that it can't fail us right now. You know, it seems like everybody's in fear for the end of the world because of the war, you know, and you know, talking about, you know, arming their weapons, right, Two-Feather? And, you know, they want everybody in fear, like there's no other way. And the other thing was Kennedy was supporting Israel in every way. And, you know, he was talking about how criminal the other people were. So anybody to me that can find fault with the other side and, you know, make themselves look like they're the, you know, the hero that's going to save the poor people or whatever, that is all bullshit to me. Like, even Kennedy, I don't mind saying that's total bullshit what he's talking. You know, like, you pump up all this fear so that you have an excuse to build weapons for war. You find fault with somebody else so that you can say that, you know, somebody's got to do something about it. Well, you're not putting yourself in their shoes. So, you know, until I see people negotiating, I don't see why we're in the situation we're in. I think it's all lies. And I really think it's the dark side, the last chance they get to steal everybody's soul. Because if they can talk you into hurting each other, they've got your soul. So look at the way everybody's paying attention to the war and how they're all bloodthirsty, waiting to watch people get blown up and stuff with all these new fancy weapons. So, you know, like in my mind, you're all losers. You know, you talk about fighting all the time. What is a meek person? Because they're the ones that are going to end up with the world, not the ones that want to kill each other. You know, so what am I supposed to say if I have a place to say something? What do you think, Demetrius? You think anything could change these people?
I think we're just going to invite them to our barbecues and really just change their minds.
Do a little more sacrificing to the gods with the barbecues. You know, because that's where that comes from. The Canaanites sacrificing to their gods. They made up the barbecue brush that you use to brush on the barbecue sauce. Barbecue recipes. The sweet savior of the barbecue. So I'm thinking that that's what our whole problem is. We're all being lied to. We're being fed a bunch of shit that's killing us. You know, and then, you know, because of our, you know, being kind of blind to everything because of the food that we eat and stuff, they talk us into killing each other. And then when they've got you all whipped into, you know, somebody's got to die, you're kind of going to the wrong place in the long run. You know, and you think that, you know, like there's a some hell or something, but hell to me is just when you're confused. So, you know, Earth is all in hell right now and can't figure out how to get out of killing each other. Don't even have an excuse for why they do it. Like Tom says, the white buffalo is about not killing any more buffalo. You know, it's supposed to be a sign for the original people to, you know, stop killing everything to live. You know, like they might have had a reason for it at some point. Like in the book I have, it says that there was some pretty big animals on the planet before, so they had a purpose for protecting themselves. But nowadays, it's like, you know, we're going into a time of either we're going to kill each other or we're going to help each other. And how do you think that's going to work? Like, we're at the end of capitalism. The next big government is tyranny or something. You know, it's like anarchy and stuff. Because the capitalism breaks down because you get too capitalistic. You're trying to steal from each other. So you end up with tyranny. I've been saying that for years. So next thing that's going to happen is gold's going to go through the roof. We're going to crash the markets. And this is the year for it, right? Or am I wrong?
You know, I think you're right. I just want to say that there might be a reason why we've run out of a lot of ways out. We gotta find we gotta find our way out. But we're having troubles, and I just want to say that I'm glad we came together, and the fact that we were able to meet each other and change the world in any way that we did for the positive was for the better. I've been noticing things getting closer to me, how AI is getting like better at answering my questions, or how the micromanagement is getting so tight, how all this money is being financed, and I can really feel how a lot of things are makes me feel like we're being closed in on. One of the other things that was getting closer to me, that has been getting closer to me, are birds. Like, over the past, this whole year, Robin specifically, have been getting closer and closer and closer to me. And I've just been, like, walking alongside Robins all day today. And it's kind of odd.
Do you think they're losing their fear of us?
Well, at least of me, I suppose.
It's probably your energy. Birds seem to be assigned somehow.
But in relation, and it's congruent. It's all congruent with how close everything feels, and how we have been talking about the importance of our diet, and that the fact that we've been focusing on our diet for a while is great, because that's, like I just told you, we should revolutionize the garden, and we'd be able to eat healthier, and
It's an interesting discussion. You know, like, Two Feathers gives me a hard time about, you know, not killing things and stuff. Like, as if there's some reason that we should. And I don't know what to say. I mean, all I can say is the religions seem to be behind it. You know, like, they seem to be the ones to give you the okay. And the government's all for it because they're making a ton of money on it. You know, if you ever think about, like, what Tom and stuff was saying, if we ever really stop the cheese market, even, you know, like, it's just, it's crazy how much we rely on that for jobs and everything. You know, so all this, like, the way we process our food is bad for us. And it causes us all these, like, you know, like, doctor's bills and stuff in the long run. You know, but because it's set up that way, nobody would ever think that, you know, everybody's wrong. You know, like, Like I said something one time about reincarnation. I said, if 90% of the people believe it, I'm not going to believe it because 90% of the people can't be right about something. You know, like I look at it like maybe you get 5% or something of the people that actually figure out what's going on here. You know, so I laugh at, you know, like these people that think, oh, you got to be able to kill things to live because everybody does it. It's like, well, that's probably why it's wrong. You know, like totally wrong. You know, because we just do whatever somebody else does. That's what really makes it wrong. We're supposed to think about what we're doing. And then when somebody does think about it, like somebody like me, and then I do something about it, everybody gives you a hard time because they don't want to do anything about it. You know, and they think that it's worth killing myself because, you know, but they're not thinking about the time in the hospital and how much the doctor's bills are and stuff, you know. How much the government makes on you with this routine they set us up on. It's bad for us. It's like impossible almost. And I look like a, you know, something wrong with me all the time.
No, man, there's nothing wrong with you.
Well, I know that. I would never think that. I don't care what other people think. You know? There's nothing wrong with any of us.
Free men.
Well, I think for myself, that's the only difference. And I would suggest everybody thinks for themselves and stop believing what you're told. Maybe get a connection to the Creator where you can really think for yourself, you know, where you get man out of the picture. Because man is the problem. Man thinks he can do something great, and he can't. Because everything comes from some higher place. You know, like all our knowledge comes from a Creator. You know, like otherwise we wouldn't know anything. So, you know, when somebody figures that out, then all of man's ways don't add up anymore. You know, like they can't get you to what the Creator knows. You know, so I look at like, so where is the Creator in all of man's beliefs and stuff? And everybody thinks that they know God or something, or they may even get to see God sometime. But if you can see God, then it's not the Creator. You know, so all of our belief systems has set us up to say God all the time and not the Creator. Like you even said something about my God today, Demetrius. And I laugh because who cares, you know, what you say about God? Where's the Creator in that? See, you know, anything less than the Creator, you're supposed to be able to talk about it. You're supposed to be able to question it all. You're supposed to be able to question the Creator about anything, and you shouldn't have any fear. So how could you say, you know, I might do something wrong? What would the Creator care about, you know, using his name in vain? Is that what you said or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's when you curse somebody or something, you know. Like, I don't know, Two Feathers might have a better reason for it. What was that?
It's just people are hard on themselves, and, you know, the second you're hard on yourself, you take away from God's ever-loving kindness. And, there's probably multiple reasons out there why people think that they can't have a relationship with their Creator. So that,
well, go ahead. God says to fear him, so that's one problem, right? Go ahead.
Wow. I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm surprised at how much I've, like, uncovered. I love the the fact that I love riddles. I love a good riddle.
And yeah, I do too.
I think that there's a lot of really good stuff out there that not even the great Demetrius knows. And as soon as I figure that out, it's good. It's going to be known publicly. The people.
Well, you make a good point there, the great Demetrius. So why aren't all of us great? And what makes God any greater? You know, like in a world of good people, they wouldn't care about titles. You know, you wouldn't hold the title over somebody else's learning, right?
Well, that's you got to have a dynamic. It's also apparent. It's the student-teacher complex, man. I've gotten into quite some trouble with that. Discovering how real it is. It's you have to be willing to learn about your students. What they're there to be taught. I teach as to learn, so to teach as to learn. I think in the Bible it's like love as to love, so to love, and to love. But it might just be that simple.
You mean what you put out, you get, or whatever? See, I think the Bible is mostly common sense. You know, like to be moral is just common sense. And, you know, people say something about, you know, what we think or whatever, human sense or something. You know, it's just what we come up with from each other. You know, all these belief systems and stuff. They all focus on some God up in heaven or whatever. And, you know, like in the Bible it talks about a Lord. And a Lord is a lower God. It's a landlord. You know, like the one that's the lowest in the heavens is the one that's kind of hanging around us and controlling most of the stuff closest to the planet. Now, that God is supposed to be, like any God, is supposed to be, you know, our best potential, you know, to give us potential. But these gods that, you know, we've been believing in religions and stuff, they really don't have our best, you know, potential in mind because we're all at war right now. You know, so all of these people that are at war have a different belief system, which means there's a different God above each one of those belief systems. And those gods are actually playing chess with us. The way that the book I have puts it is they win by how many souls they get. So this is all about killing us off, getting us to fight with each other, and then we're under their control when we believe their religions and stuff. We end up in a heaven that is kind of like what the book says, the Bible or the Quran or something, but yet it doesn't really cover what heaven is. You know, like it doesn't really give you a good explanation, so they could make it anything they want it to be at this point. Now, in the book I have, it talks about the good gods are actually in higher heavens. They're not just lord gods or landlord gods. They're not the lowest of gods. But the good gods talk about the creator. They don't take any credit for anything, and they would tell you anything that they know, so they're not hiding anything from us. You know, so only the ones that are in the lower heavens would try and give you a different story. And each one of the religions is a different story. So just that fact is enough to show that there's more than one God. And then Two Feathers God says that he's the Almighty, you know, like the highest God and stuff, which still isn't the creator. You know, so you can see how these different belief systems can't really name the creator. They can't name like something you can't explain that's everywhere, you know, like as in, you know, knowledge of everything but it's not something that is like a god, you know, like a god doesn't really, it's not omnipresent, a god, you know, it's sitting on a throne or something, you know, like our magistrates and stuff, they call themselves gods, and we look up to them like gods, and all of our belief systems are like to worship higher beings, like as if they're in control of us because they're godlike and they know more than we do. So we're needy. Oh, we've got a break. We'll be right back. Don't think we're as needy as you think.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no! Step on into the Secret Kindergarten, Saturdays 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday. For free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B. At freedomslips.com.
I want to to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And here we go again, showing them what we got no matter what they throw at us. And this is Why Not, and it's Question It All. That's the name of the show for the night. And it goes so quick, like we've only got an hour left. I got Two Feathers and Demetrius with me, and we're all listener supported, and we are number one because, you know, like a lot of us make it up as we go, so it's like real, you know, like this is just, you know, whatever comes up next, and I like people that are real, you know, like somebody that just, you know, goes with the flow and kind of feels what they think life should feel like instead of what somebody told them to feel like, you know. So, you know, what is ours when you think about it? When you, and maybe I talk too much or something, but like somebody gives you life, and then you come here and it's defined for you, and now you find yourself, you know, working until you drop and stuff, and you know you can't really afford what you thought you could, and who made it all up to begin with? So I had Demetrius and Two Feathers. What do you guys think? Why is it up to us, right? Are we at their mercy? Am I by myself? Are you with me, Two Feathers? I think we've got callers that are busy. I think Two Feathers was making a pot pie or something. And Demetrius is just getting off work, so maybe you got to listen to me. You don't want to give me too much time. I got a new phone coming in another couple of days. It's really funny. I just put in T-Mobile and like just went for the lowest price that I could get. And the next auction that went off, I just picked that one. And you know, I still have to wait a week or something for it to get here, but it should work. And then, you know, like that solves the problem of me going out and paying for another $200 phone from T-Mobile or something. And it seems like everything's a gimmick. Like, you know, the other phone that I had from, Cricket, which really I never liked that Cricket or whatever. It's just, you know, didn't work out that good because it never gave me enough data and stuff. Like, you know, for if you pay a little bit more, you could get maybe enough, but it's like, you know, data was always running out. So that's why I went for a new phone plan. This one actually gives you some like tethering or whatever it is, Wi-Fi tethering. So if I get a laptop, I can actually use it to do my shows better, I would say. To have, you know, other capabilities. But I kind of laugh at that kind of stuff, too, because I look at the lowest price laptop, and you can get, like, an SSD drive and a really nice laptop for, like, $59 or something. So everything seems cheap right now in some ways, and then really expensive in other ways. Like, it depends on what you can afford to do, I guess, because, you know, like, all the laptops and phones are kind of cheap online. But, you know, when you go out in public, everything is way too expensive. It's like, you know, I don't like paying $400 for a phone. I've never done that before in my life. I don't care about the contract and the payments per month. You know, getting your credit checked and stuff just for a phone. And then you find out you can get one for $50 that'll work. So I have to laugh, you know, like you learn by, you know, what time you have to figure it out, I guess. You know, like I get all rushed trying to get everything to work here and be able to take calls and stuff. And really, it's like, it's not up to me when things work out. Or, I don't know, are you with me, Demetrius? I see you. You're on mute, though. But, you know, once in a while I see the mute button move, and I wonder if they're here. I should just add some more people. I kind of laugh that, you know, like, I'm not that good at being by myself. I kind of laugh the way I take things like that. Like, maybe if I get a laptop, I won't have to think so much like other people do. And, I think it's funny that, that 2 hours goes so fast, but when you're by yourself, it's like it takes so long. And, I enjoy it in a way because I always have a lot to say, but I don't really, you know, I usually have a lot of people on the call. And so you don't really get to know me that much. I was like playing with, solar panels and stuff. And, I'm about to like build a generator and stuff to run off of a little 49cc motor. And you can get these, 49cc motors if you get them, like if they, you gotta mix the gas, you can get them for like $50 or something. And, I have one of those and then I have one that's a little bit more expensive because you don't have to mix the gas. And then I'm gonna try and put two, like 2000 watt, like go-kart motors. They're electric go-kart motors. I'm going to try and put one or two of them on the 49cc motor. They tell me you can tune these motors up, or I've seen it on YouTube, that you can get almost 4 horsepower out of them. They produce about 2.5 is what they're rated at. And, one of these, 2000 watt motors is, probably almost 3 horsepower for an electric motor. Like the 2000 watt motor on a go-kart probably goes about 40, 45 miles an hour on a go-kart. Like, I've never put one on it, but I can do 30 miles an hour on my bike real easily with the right gearing and stuff. So these motors are really strong for pulling uphill and stuff. But anyway, if you turn them around and use them as a generator, they should be able to put out just as much energy as they use to get you somewhere. So I kind of feel like it'll be pretty simple to, you know, run off of gas when you're going long distance and never run out. And then whenever you stop, I have like solar panels that I ended up like taping them together with duct tape. And you can fold them up like a fan and just put them on the side of the bike. And you can fit like... I haven't gotten up to like 6 yet, but you can easily fit like 4 or 5 on each side of the bike. And that gives you like 10 solar panels at 100 watts. So that's like 1,000 watts for each bike. And it makes me laugh because it only weighs about 50 pounds for the solar panels if you get the plastic ones. And, it makes it pretty simple to, you know, kind of like if you left the bike out in the sun for a couple of days, it would charge itself real easily, especially with that much energy. I've never used that much actually on one bike, but I've been using up to like 20 panels so far, but I'm thinking of having like up to 30 if I have 3 bikes and I travel. And I think it's pretty simple to have a 3-wheel bike that you can travel with. You know, something to sleep on top of the bike. And you could probably go anywhere you want and stay anywhere you want. And I think that's what's going to happen in the future. I think we're going to have to cut down on energy. That's all there is to it. And something like this is probably free. You know, like I never like, you know, when it runs off the solar, you never have to pay for anything. So you have to laugh. You can't get any cheaper than that. So, you know, like, and I've heard Bill, you know, Grant talking about free energy and stuff. And I think solar panels are the real free energy. I think the Creator gives us whatever we believe in, but, you know, we don't really see it as free energy. And I think what the problem is you don't get as much as you think out of it. Like, I don't really get 1,000 or 100 watts out of a 100-watt solar panel. But I get enough to charge my batteries fast enough, faster than I use them. And so that's really all I was going for. And as for, like, enough energy to, like, travel, you know, without, like, gas or something, I don't see how solar is going to, you know, do that. You might be able to travel one day and then, you know, charge up another day. But, you know, I don't see how you could put enough solar panels to actually keep you going. So that's what I've been actually doing, is trying to test all this stuff to see how to set it up and actually if you can actually travel. But I call it something like a, you know, actually I call it my wheelchair, but it's more like an escape pod. Like, if you could build one for about $700 and then be able to take off and get about 30 to 70 miles out of it, you can at least get out of the city, you know, on a solar charge of a day or two. Because it only takes it a day or two to get it back up to power. And I kind of laugh. It's really possible in a way. Like, I haven't really used it more than going to the store, actually going anywhere I want to go. I make pretty long trips. But I laugh at, like, it's possible. And somehow, you know, like, you're always looking for a way out. Like, somehow there's always a way out. And I think that's kind of what's going on here, is, like, you know, the harder they make it for us, the easier we find ways out of it, you know, so that we don't have to go through all the hell they're trying to put us through. I mean, something like that, what I'm doing is more like, I'm kind of enjoying nature in a way, instead of going through all the pain and suffering listening to the news. I mean, I still listen to the news, but I'm sitting out here in nature and enjoying all the animal life too. And I don't think the world phases me anyway. Like, after I found out that I live forever and nothing can stop that, you kind of start to think that everything in the world is a waste of your time. Maybe you should be focusing on something like enjoying life, or, you know, what you really get out of it is, you know, all the friendships and the people in your life and stuff. I wonder if Two Feathers is with me. He's probably enjoying that pot pie that he was putting together. But you have to laugh. I probably put Demetrius to sleep.
No, actually, I've been very interested in what you've been saying. There was so I came back like 20 minutes, well, about 15
it's
minutes.
Been that long.
I just kind of got lost. I came back about 10 minutes ago, and I was about to come on, and you said, well, I don't talk about myself a lot, but and then I was like, oh, shit, just let him go.
Yeah, let him go.
It's nice to hear you.
That I've got something on my mind.
Yeah. Something on my mind.
I always keep busy. You know, like, I'm capable of a lot of things that I don't talk about it much. But somehow I got trained in my life for anything that could happen next. Like, that's the way I look at it. Like, I think there's something bigger than us. And the whole agenda right now is to get everybody to survive what man is putting them through right now. You know, like, there has to be people there that can, you know, handle any situation, take some scrap and make it into something to make it easier to live, you know, something like that.
And those people are doing us a big favor. I tell you,
I would do what I can. Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to do what they can from now on. Like, that's our future.
I mean, unfortunately do things because that's just who I am. Not because it's like whether or not I can do it. I'm an odd guy, and people ask weird questions, and I give them weird answers. And
something you're not expecting.
Well, and then all these weird answers are getting on their Google, and all these people's Googles are changing into like weird, like philosophical, like.
You mean you make people think?
Yeah.
And because isn't that what the most you can do is to get people to think? You know, like for themselves mostly, you know? Like I think that's what waking up is, when you think, oh, well, I live forever too. Maybe I should do something with that, you know? Like, maybe there's more to it than what they've been telling us, you know? See, the joke is, you know, like, about 30 years ago, I ran into a book called The OASPI, and it talks about other worlds. It talks about, you know, there's civilizations all over the place, and you know, we're traveling through space, and as we go through space, we go by other planets or other solar systems or whatever. And there's other gods living there too and stuff. And they kind of help us along the way. And it talks about all of these stories about, you know, how the planet really works and stuff. And ever since then, I don't have fear anymore. I don't have any problems with life. I don't really care what people think or what's on the news and stuff. Because I know there's so much more than this. Like, this is such a small place when it's only 100 years and you live forever. Now, the problem here is you have all these belief systems because everybody's trying to guess what's going on. But it's up to our gods what they give us. And each one of the gods has given us a different way of looking at everything. So that's why we're all, you know, kind of against each other in a way with our belief systems, our celebrations, our ceremonies, or, you know, these all come from the gods. And I think the time that we're in right now is to realize that the gods kind of play us a little bit. You know, like there's higher gods and lower gods, and we're dealing with the lower ones usually because the higher ones have better things to do. Like they're probably taking care of all the other souls that are leaving here and moving on to better things. You know?
Best case scenario. It's odd. Witches, a couple years ago, all came together and decided to collectively hex the moon. And now, if you knew anything about the moon, the way that it interacts with the earth and the fact that it gives us tides and created brine pools that created life and allowed us to live. The fact that the moon is the reason why life exists. Unique. And well, life tried to hex its very genus. Life tried to hex its creator. It can't go the other way. I don't know.
You mean that's the way the story is told? You know.
But it just didn't. Nothing happened. You got all these people trying to hex the thing that is the reason why everything's alive. And
so you're saying, like, in your generation, they came up with something like that to So that, like, hex the moon or so, you know, hex is like a spell or something, right?
I guess, like, this happened, excuse my language, 3 or 4 years ago. But I knew, I talked about this before. It was a big plan. It was a date. And I talked about this beforehand and afterwards. And now that I think about it, it probably works both ways. Because if you, if you're a creator and you create something, how could you hex your creation? If you gave that,
well, you have choice, so you can do anything. You know, like, that's what's so funny about this place. Like, everybody thinks, oh, well, God might get upset. Well, God might get upset, but not the creator. The creator's like, well, you live forever, so something's going to work out. You guys got forever to play, you know. You're not going to be children forever, right? You're gonna end up wanting to see what else is out there. So that's what I mean. Like, it's like this thing where do you get your information from? And if you get it from man, you're not going anywhere, because they limit everything. So there has to be something more than man.
I'm an ass because nobody told me all the stuff I know. I'm making sure to tell everybody else just because nobody told me.
Nobody knows. I spent all my life thinking somebody knows something, like I might be able to accumulate, you know, some knowledge or whatever. And then I found this book, like I was saying, and the book explains how the animal world works, that they follow the inspiration of the creator all the time. They just go with the flow. And it's really interesting when you kind of figure it out, what it's trying to say. It's like saying, well, you get choice. So, you know, like, you have to find the creator. You know, you come here without any senses at all, and you've got to develop all your senses, because you got to go by what man teaches you. You know, because you come here with nothing, but you get choice. So that's special. You know, but you are connected to the creator, because children will ask the funniest questions. You know, and you kind of know that the creator is behind the children. You know, so it's an interesting world, but you have to, I don't know, kind of look into it as much as you can to see what's going on.
Oh, yeah. You've seen.
But it's all good for us. Go ahead.
It's a miracle.
Yes.
I was told that we should pass that. It's time to pass it on to our children, the torch to our children. And
the children should be everything right now. Like, you know, like, we took so much from our future, from our children's potentials and stuff, that all the focus should be on the children right now. And if you want to fix this world, if you give to the children, you know, what are we here for? We're here to grow, you know, and the only way you're going to grow is to give, you know. So, you know, what am I trying to explain? I'm trying to say that when you get a connection back to the creator, that you'll have all the answers. It's not complicated here. It's actually pretty simple. One of the biggest problems here is we judge each other, and that kind of judges ourselves. It puts us in a little box, and you got to get out of that. You can't be against anyone else, because then you're against yourself in a way. You know, like, I keep saying, well, somebody's got to lose if you win. So when we're fighting, it's more like, you know, somebody's got to lose, so who really wins, you know? And this is like a box, you know, like, you're complicating it. Like, Israel right now wants to attack again. It's like, oh, well, they did such a good job attacking us, we're going to have to, you know, slap them back. And it's like, well, when does it end? You know, like who's going to stop outdoing each other? You know, and people are dying. So, you know, like that makes it harder to stop. You know, you're making a problem instead of a solution. So in this world of war, who's actually trying to stop the war? Like in America, we're going broke, so we need something to keep us going. So weapons seem to be the most, you know, profit that we can make is killing people. So, you know, like who's driving the war? Are we really on the right side of this? You know, nobody's talking about, you know, doing business with the other world, right? How are we going to do without China? I mean, who's that crazy to say China's the bad guy? Come on.
China's great.
We just gave them all of our technology so they could sell things to us. So where are we going to get these things? Are we going to do them ourselves? It'll take 10, 20 years to get back to what we had. So the people at the top know what they're doing. They made all of their criminal acts, and now this is the cover-up to keep you busy on the war when they crash everything around you. And then you're going to be in poverty trying to figure out how to help each other because that's all you have left. And I think what we could do is that we could organize the whole thing like Daryl was saying, we should write a new constitution of the people, and we should be real beings. Not beings, but be. We should be instead of be beings. You know, like they fooled us with all our words. And, you know, what can I say? We're going to have some really great discussions soon when I get my new phone. And I have to laugh because it's not up to the uppity-ups anymore. It's up to us. That's what I think U.S. really stands for, is us. We just have to stand up to us. To be us, you know? Like, what does it take to be you?
Face myself.
And you're working for McDonald's.
Oh, jeez.
That feels so good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking at the problem, looking the horse pretty white chompers.
Yeah, it's probably not a good environment just for the grease in the air, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they have some kind of filters nowadays. But it's got to be a hard job to work.
I think if I could just convince people to be healthy long enough to for the benefits to kick in. I just liked being healthy because it just felt nice. It felt like I was paying attention to my body. It wouldn't. When all that was happening, I started telling all my friends, this is great. And then all of a sudden, all these benefits are kicking in. All the work that I've been putting in mentally and physically is, wow, it's incredible. And now that I'm this far in.
It's a different energy, right?
It's hard to explain. Explain it without.
It is hard.
Because I want them to experience it for themselves. But that's how it's always been. Well,
Tom said something about you don't know how sick you are until you're well, you know? Like when you feel better, then you realize how bad you were. You know, so. You get used to it, you know?
I like that.
Yeah. And so you really do have to take a little bit of time and see if there's any benefit to it. And the funniest thing for me, like, you know, I don't know if it would happen for anyone else, but, you know, all my life being a vegetarian and then realizing that cheese was bad for me, you know, it made me feel so good that I wasn't doing that to the cows anymore and stuff. You know, so I don't know if it was just the energy about, you know, feeling good about not hurting anything, or the fact that I, you know, finally did clean up my act enough to actually get some benefit from it. But now I feel like a healthier person just giving up cheese. I already gave up most of the dairy stuff, but cheese was the hardest one. And cheese is the most concentrated, like, disease-causing thing on the planet. And it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. You know, you can see all the hormones in it, and then the fact that they concentrate it, you know, when they make it into cheese. So, definitely hard to give up. But the joke is, when you know what it is, it's not that hard to give up.
Well, the Chief Feathers said something about oat milk. And where did they get oat milk cheese?
They have, like, vegetarian cheese, vegetable cheese and stuff. But I'm not into that kind of stuff, like, to substitute the things I'm missing. Like, those hamburgers and stuff that are vegetarian.
You don't. Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I don't think we're supposed to be like that, where, you know, we were taught like a way of eating and we can't get past it, you know, because we're so used to it. Like, I think a way of eating is what's good for you. Once you get to that, like, why would you be missing anything? You know, so I'm not into substitute stuff that, you know, like something that tastes like sausage or something. What do I care? You know, like, first I know it's not sausage, you know, it's not, you're never going to be able to substitute it.
Well, we got to get our listeners out there spreading the spores and picking mushrooms and learning about the chicken of the woods.
You're right.
The hen of the wood, or we got chanterelles. Oh, it's just so good. The chicken of the woods is the best chicken, in my opinion. Chanterelle mushroom is like a gourmet like steak, but I don't know. It's not steak. It's like it just feels.
It's got a good consistency, and the flavor is amazing. And it's not really like a substitute for something that we're used to. Like, this is just a whole new, you know, way of eating and stuff that, you know, you may never know if you didn't go out and look in the woods for it, because that's not in the grocery stores. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. More like, you know, you should see all the variety of life out there and food that you know, like, we don't focus on all that's out there. You know, we're missing most of the tastes and stuff. Like, what you're saying is something you can't get in the grocery stores. You're never going to find that kind of soup, right? It may be restaurant.
Yeah. Gotta get some freshly picked mushroom.
Uh-huh. I know the restaurants will buy that stuff from you.
Mm-hmm. It's marked up, though, but you go out in the woods and you know what you're looking for. You're finding dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Something really nutritious and good for you.
It's tasty, really. So tasty.
Yeah, I think it's made for us to find one day, you know, and realize how much different it is than what man gave us, you know?
We just made steak. We just learned how to cook a really good steak, humankind, really. Well, once we learn how to cook, like, a good... like a beef steak, like a mushroom steak or something.
Yeah.
We'll have done it. We'll have made it.
Well, I got to admit, I can't replace the taste of meat and stuff. But, you know, like, to me, it was when I quit, I actually went and got the best meats that I could get. you know, to see if they were so special or whatever for their prices. And my wife was a chef at Knights of Columbus. She was like the head chef. She was awesome for her age at like about 18, 19, which is pretty amazing. She was training like 9 other chefs under her and stuff. And she was trained by her grandmother, an Italian, you know, that used to sell tomatoes to Campbell's, actually, from her life.
I really appreciate the fact that she works at Knights of Columbus, because I've been trying to think of that song all day long.
I thought it was like a sign or something, you know, like everything to me in my life has been like some kind of sign, you know, and that was like a fraternity, you know, it was the top of the church crap that was going on in my neighborhood and crap. Like, I ended up seeing through all the belief systems and stuff. And that's how I ended up finding that book, The OASPI, because when I read the Bible an extra time after my wife left me with the children, I couldn't figure out why she would do that or not be able to see my value, too. And I really didn't find the answer in the Bible, so I kind of got a bit pissy, and about 6 months later, the OASPI came along with the next girlfriend that I had. And I kind of laugh how things, like, you know, work out. Because the OASPI is a book that's for the time that we're in right now. And I don't talk about it that much because the Bible has been pushed on everybody so much that I don't want to, you know, have a new Bible. And you know, like, there's no push in this. There's no need to. You know, like, this is just... It's the next knowledge that was given to us to figure out what we're going through right now. You know, and what it really does is it explains how all the worlds work, you know, like the atmosphere, the solid world, and the spirit world. So once you realize how these, you know, levels work and how these angels do things and stuff, I know it sounds a little wooey, but you start to realize that they've been keeping us from learning that kind of stuff. They don't want you to know what's next, and that you really do live forever. Because once you realize you live forever, that you can fix all your sins, which is what this book says, like nobody gets put out of existence, then what is there to be in fear of? You know, so all these other belief systems have set it up to keep you in fear all the time. And to me, that's what the new way of seeing things is, you know, is that there's a, you know, a new way to look at everything. Nobody can force you into going into war and killing people anymore. You know, like, there's an answer in this book for everything that we're going through. And I have to laugh because, you know, like, I'm quiet about it. I'm not, you know, I'm not out there. You can go find a person named Sila Shalom, and I've said this before, and he'll tell you everything about this book. He's doing debates on this book in the Bible, and the Bible is backing down. They won't do debates with him because, you know, the Bible doesn't cover everything in on the planet, you know. So the interesting...
Said that.
Go ahead.
Do you think you said that to be a...
I'll send you a PDF copy. I'll be like Sergeant. And Sergeant is coming up next with and it was right on the tip of my tongue. Something is his show. I'll remember it next time. But I love his show because it's something new, and he had Shannon, Trucker Shannon, on last week. I think she came on Two Feathers show, too, on
the Cognitive Reality show.
Yeah, I was going to remember that one. That one's easier. So you're with us. There he is. I had to say the right thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was great with Trucker Shannon, like... I haven't heard her in a long time, and she's real sharp on things. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, she's a good one.
Yeah, she doesn't want to play into the fact of, you know, that she thinks that they're all on board with this population control and what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, who's all on board? The whole world?
Yeah, all these leaders, these, you know, politicians.
I heard somebody in the neighborhoods, you know, like I said something about population control, and he was into the population control because he thinks it's too crowded. And I think that they purposely made it that way to make you feel like there's too many people. You know, like they could have spread us out. They could have done it a lot of different ways. But right now they want you all, you know, in the cities together and fighting over things so that you think it's crowded. Like, you know, like if we think that way, there's too many people, then they have a good excuse for getting rid of some of us, you know? Like, that's what the wars have always been about, is to keep the population down. Like, aren't they all banker wars, like they say? The religious wars,
both
like
sides
that's
of the war. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's all on purpose to keep us from outthinking them, you know, because if we think long enough, we're going to outthink them. So they keep us from living long enough, and the stuff in the store will kill you, you know, if you keep
Did y'all hear Bruce Willis just died?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he just passed away, dude. Yeah, he had some kind of rare Parkinson's, dementia or something.
Wow.
Yeah, man, he couldn't talk or anything. He was like a little bitty kid, man.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, Tom will tell you that comes from the cow and the milk and the cheese and the ice cream. That's what's wrong with Biden. He eats too much ice cream. And Paluski, she was into that. Yeah. Yeah, they're all crazy, aren't they?
Yeah,
especially in the end. In the end, it'll get you. You know, like, we have to pay for our sins. And to me, that's one of the ways we pay for it. You know, like, the slaughterhouse is not a nice place. Nobody wants to do that job, so we get sick over it. I actually realized that that's where all the disease comes from. That's what Tom said, and that book I have says that the evil world spreads disease. You know, I couldn't figure out how they did it, but now that Tom came along, I get it now. It's all about the slaughterhouse, and we're all participating in it, you know. And then we wonder.
Huh?
Yeah, more cows. And we wonder why we act like we do. Well, the cows are being fed cows, and that means they have that mad cow disease. And then the people get that, you know, and that's what Alzheimer's is. You know, like if he couldn't remember anything, what the mad cow does is it leaves holes in your brain. Eventually you get too many holes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy what we do to ourselves. And then the government's trying to say that it's good for you. Drink more milk. You know? Like all the advertising. Yeah, and they're putting that in everything and they don't have to label it now. So what does that tell you? That tells me I want to eat off the land. I'm sick of this stuff. I can't tell what's in it anymore.
Hmm.
You know,
that means it'll be bug fortified.
That's right.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. You won't get a choice, and that's what he was trying to say. You know, you're gonna like it. You know, you're gonna be happy anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's all you get. You don't get choice anymore, man. man is all good about taking away choice because the Creator gave you a choice. Mm. No, even the gods take away the choice. They tell you to do what they're telling you.
You know? When someone's bullying you, you say, Nor, from Bluey. Nor.
Oh, Nor.
Nor.
Is that no?
I think it's like an Australian Aussie. I mean, so what's where'd Aussie go?
Well, he's around. He'll probably call in if you ask him to. Aussie Paul?
Yeah. He probably knows all about Nor.
Uh-huh. See, they say on that commercial that no is the secret word. Well, that's because you're supposed to say no to these people. You know? Like somebody made up a world and told you this is what you're going to have to live like. Don't you want to say no?
Yeah.
Don't you want a world that you got to make up to?
Well, you got to create your own identity, essentially. So you have the choice. The original choice is...
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Well, I think we're as close as we get to a choice in America. But I think we're starting to lose that. You know, and I think it's like a time when you have to fight back, but when I say fight, I only mean with the right words. You know, like to show that you're not less educated. Like it doesn't take university to get the right words to, you know, say what you feel here. And you don't need big words or something. You know, go ahead.
It comes naturally. It really does. If you have a passion and you want to learn something, you naturally just gonna start using words, or it's gonna express what you are passionate about.
I think it's easy to make sense. Yeah.
But that's where studying comes into play, because When you're studying what you're passionate about, and you're learning all the stuff that you yourself are studying, it has its benefits. And of course, naturally, I remember when I had my, what was it? I realized I was answering a lot of questions fast. Like, I was making a lot of sense really quick. And I decided to just stop researching. I stopped looking things up. I didn't read anything. And I just did that naturally, just to be able to get away from the programming, of course.
Well, in a way, you like get forced to learn things in school, and then when you actually get out and you start learning on your own, you realize how interesting it is to, you know, learn everything that you want to learn instead of what you're told you have to learn. And so, you know, learning is something that, like, it's one of our like, we can't stop ourselves, like, we need to know everything kind of thing. You know, you got all that memory to fill up or something. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's like something wrong with us in a way. We can't get enough. You know, I don't know if that's just me, but I kind of feel like everybody's like that. Like, in some things, we're all made the same. Like we don't like the word no, you know. Or you have to, or something, you know? Like, we all want to feel like we're free.
No, it's magic.
Yeah. You
said no is the magic word. I immediately thought of, like, how Oh, the tragedies of a no from the right person. No, I...
You mean when you get turned down on a date or something?
So that was, yes, that's who, that could happen.
Not like
that wasn't that was bad. Yeah, of course. You gotta be able to say no. No, no.
Gotta be able to handle actually it.
In fact, I do not. Because it takes a while to get out of that pattern. Because even if you miss a beat from somebody else, it will miss a beat. I grew up in a small town with the only black people that lived in the town there were like my cousins, and I had like two black cousins. So I don't know what kind of like was the beat. We live in a beat. Anyway, I've given myself a hard time. Like I said, it's the food and the McDonald's. And honestly, it's saddening that we bring back old patterns. If we don't continue to establish that identity for ourselves, and you might be able to make a decision and change that part of you for that moment, but you have to keep choosing for yourself to say no, I it's not my end. I'm not that, you know. I'm sorry, no. It takes a while to get out of plain sight. Well, everybody is looking at the same thing until someone stands out, and nobody knows what to do.
Well, I think we all know that we don't want to do what we're told, and if you look at the system, it's like time to do something new, you know, because they're getting a little uppity about, you know, how much power they have and stuff. You know, so the only thing that stops that is us. You know, actually, the stuff we talk about here ends up changing the world anyway, because, you know, like these people that are higher power, they really don't know what to do next either. You know, so they kind of watch us to see what comes up next, because where does the new ideas come from? You know, do you really think that, you know, our paid players are going to come up with good ideas? See, the best idea right now would be make friends with our neighbors. And I think that's what we're seeing over in Gaza, is that, you know, my neighbor has like all the gas that they need in the world, but we don't want to let them to get to it, you know. Let's get to it before they do. And so we're trying to, you know, like steal from our neighbors. And so what I'm getting at is we kind of watch our uppity ups and do what they do. And that's how we, you know, get somewhere in the world, because that's how they do it, you know, with all this power and force and stuff. They make everybody do what they're told. That's why no is so special, because you're supposed to be able to say no, and you'll be able to handle it without them. You know. So the government's a bunch of big bullies. They're out telling everybody else in the world how to live, and we don't even have a life here. But they're trying to say that we have a great life, you know. But yet, you know, we have a dead future, so... You know, how many people can have children now? You know, like we're going downhill instead of, you know, repopulating the planet now. But we're just realizing that.
You know, you only have one child now. Due to profit margins not increasing as fast as we would like them to, you are only allowed to have half a child.
I think you're going to have to go to the science or scientists to actually have a child these days, because that's how the vaccine works. It makes you so you can't have children. That's what squalene and stuff does. Goes right to your reproduction system. And that's what the game is. They are aiming for less reproduction. That's what man does. Man goes against the creator. Creator wants to give more life because there's lots of room on the planet. But man wants to, you know, have all the space they can get out of it, and they don't want more people. Because if there's too many people, the uppity-ups won't think so much. Other people will. We can outthink them every time. That's what the problem is. That's why they're so upset. That's the end of that. We'll be back. Thanks, Demetrius, for being there. You gotta yell a little bit at the end. Thanks, Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
That's all we got.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Three.